We talked about it this morning. There's a lot of folks that's missing today. We started off the day with a broken arm outside, so you'd be praying for Devin. He went down the steps head first, but he's okay now. But a lot of things, got a lot of people traveling, a lot of things going on this week. But listen, I want you to know that this weekend is another special weekend. I'm so excited. If you see the people sitting behind me, you know, the truth is what God wants to do is something brand new in you today. Last week, we talked about praise, we talked about worship, we talked about what God expects out of us, and we talked about that. Now, next week, you don't want to miss, because if you was here last week and you felt that, you won't want to miss it next week, because next week is the closing of that message, amen? But this week, we're going to switch gears for a moment. We've been planning this, and I want you to begin to look at this ministry that's up here. This ministry that's up here is called the Shut-In Ministry. These are the leaders and sub-leaders of Shut-In Ministry, and Shut-In Ministry is a ministry that reaches the lost at any cost. We go to the places nobody else wants to go, and as a church, that's who we're called to be. We don't worry about what everybody else says and what everybody else does, but this church is to have hands and feet on it, amen. This church is to go into all the world and preach the good news. This church will go to the very darkest hour, to the very darkest place, and reach the very darkened heart. Amen. Our job as a church is to go into all the world and preach the good news. We don't take that lightly as a church. We know that all the way through God's word, it doesn't leak it, it bleeds it, that we are to go. And if we got to go, then what we have to do is we got to get to this place where we begin to understand that God has ordained leadership in this church to go to the jails, go to the prisons, go to the nursing homes, go to the least of these, the ones that everybody else has quit on, and begin to minister to them. So today, we want to unpack this ministry just a little bit if we can, and we're going to have them share a little bit that I'm going to close the message today. And today, I want you to know that what God has for you is involvement. Everybody say involvement. You think you can't go to jail, you can't go to the prison, you can't go to the nursing home. I'm telling you, when you get there, you'll meet an anointing. You'll meet what God has got for you, and God needs every one of you to go in there. Thank God, if it wasn't for God, I'd still be incarcerated, amen. If it wasn't for God, I would be in a nursing home right now or in my grave, but thank God that God ordains people that's sitting on this stage and wants to take the message of hope and salvation to a lost and dying world. You guys excited? I thought maybe it's just me today, but I'm excited, amen? So they got the mic on, and the first one we're going to hear about is, and they'll go right on down the line, but I want to introduce you first, Miss Juanita. She leads the jail ministry for the jail lobby ministry. Fred leads the one-on-ones. Doug and Bill does the nursing home. And then John and Cindy lead the prison ministry. Isn't that exciting? Okay, so we don't want to necessarily just talk about it today, but what we're going to do is we have a ministry fair and food in the gym afterwards, but we're going to tell you a little snippet of it, and we want you to sign up and show up both, amen? Amen? Sign up and then show up. So that's a little different for us Christians, right? Not only we sign up, then you got to show up. So let's make Miss Juanita welcome this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To be in God's house. I'm from the jail lobby ministry. I would like to introduce you to jail lobby ministry. This ministry meets hurting people right where they are at. While they sit and await a visit with their loved ones that are in jail, we are able to love on them through encouragement and prayer. We also have availability, many resources for some of their physical needs as well. Hot meals and pastry lists, pregnancy and infant resources, His Hope Clinic for medical needs, multiple devotions and pamphlets dealing with pain, depression, suicide, abandonment, and grief. Celebrate recovery, meeting and support groups, my church cards, and personal invitations to meet us here. If you would like to join us, love on hurting, we invite you to just come and see. Our shut-in teams meet in the lobby at the Clark County Jail every first and third Tuesday night from 5 to 7:15. If you want to do something for the Lord, come see.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hello, I'm Fred. The other part of the jail ministry that we do here in Springfield is called a chaplain one-on-one visit. the verse that you see on the screen, hopefully right now, I would like to read, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." John 10:10. That's Jesus who's talking. Our ministry is founded on that verse, but we don't stop there. The shut-in jail ministry has a mission statement. We want to live out that statement. We want to believe it. We want to walk it. The ministry is made up of born-again believers who have received a compelling call from God to extend our servanthood in the jail. Doing what? Encouraging inmates and their visitors, as Juanita has already mentioned. Building friendship relationships. See, the one-on-one chaplain ministry is an ongoing ministry. It's a relational one. It's a walk. It is not, I'm going to go there for 30 minutes this week and just encourage somebody and then go back to my life. No, it is an involvement, a commitment that God has put in your heart. We've got a ministry warning. You've heard our pastor talk a lot about what sin will do. Well, we believe that when God calls you in this ministry, he's going to do the same thing, but on a positive vein. Not what sin does to you negatively in your life. Here's our ministry warning. This ministry will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Because it'll become part of your life. So if you haven't prayed on it, start praying on it. And if you feel God nudging you to get involved with this ministry, we want to talk with you some more right after the service. Here's our ministry life verse. It comes from Psalm 146, verse 7 and 8. He upholds, who's he? God. God upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. By the way, the Lord loves the unrighteous. God bless.
Amen. Good morning. This is an exciting time. We're about to take my church into the nursing home and assisted living facilities. Just bear with me. I got it. We'll begin our journey into this new adventure with some great folks from Eaglewood Assisted Living. We will begin by getting to know them and fellowshipping with them, breaking bread with them, and maybe even playing some games. And when I'm saying games, I understand that there's some men there that like wee bowling, and they want to see if we got what it takes to beat them. I think Bill and I do. We'll see. Most importantly, we will share the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that he died for them on the cross so they can be saved. Now, this is very tender in my heart because I've been very close to my grandmothers, and I also were very close to my grandfathers. So think back to when you had a grandparent that you loved and admired. Maybe some of you never knew your grandmother or grandfather, and God is great about giving second chances. So here's your second chance at that relationship. So many times they seem to be forgotten. In Psalms 71:9, we read, "Cast me not off in time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth.
In this passage of the Bible, it is telling us not to cast them off because there's so much to glean from the wisdom of some of the senior folk. You know, most of the senior folk that we're going to be encountering, they went through the Depression. A lot of us don't even know what the Depression is. So I'm looking forward to hearing some of their war stories, some of the Depression, some of the times, the hard times, so we can glean from that. Because they, as they live out their life, and especially with their grandkids and their kids themselves, they always wanted to instill in them that they would be better than they were. They always wanted to hope. They always loved their kids, their grandkids. So I'm really looking forward to this. Will you prayerfully consider this ministry? Will you pray for us? And also, will you pray to ask the Lord if this is something you should do? Thank you.
Our mission in this is to show the love of Jesus through relationship building and acts of service to the shut-in residents at Eaglewood Assisted Living. These people need our company, you know. These are your parents, your grandparents. We all get up every morning, come in here, you know, jump in our car, jump in our parents' car. We get chauffeured here. We get to come in at our own free will. Then when you're too old and you can't get around, you can't get out and drive your own car, where do you go? You get dumped off at some place that where nurses can keep track of you and give you medicines and change your pants for you. You just sit and wait to die. It's a good chance to share your love, you know? So our vision is to lead or reconnect the residents into a growing relationship with Christ. That's what our friendships can do. And thirdly, you can contact one of us, Doug or I, if you're interested in being a part of the ministry. Expect both yours and their lives to be changed. Amen. We can learn a lot from these people. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm very excited about the prison ministry. And the prison ministry, our goal could be summed up in these three words you see up here: break the chains. There is chains of every sort that's in the prison, and that is what God wants us to do, to go in, talk to the incarcerated, and break the chains of bondage that they have. I want to ask you, how many prison inmates do you think are within 30 miles of us right here? As long as it would take you to get to Fairfield Mall, or as long as it would take you to get to London. Does anybody have any idea how many inmates are incarcerated in prison, not the jail, but in prisons? I'll tell you, 8,261. Can you believe that? I had no idea about these statistics. Look at this. Dayton has 887 inmates. We go all the way down to the Ohio Reformatory for Women has 2,500 inmates. That is tremendous, over 8,000 people that we could be reaching. In our church here, we might be small, but we can reach many people, and we really need you to help us. The verse that we're looking at today says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. Amen. Amen. Break the chains of bondage for the incarcerated is what we're doing. People that have addiction, people that have unforgiveness, people that are filled with hate, people that are filled with guilt, people that have been prostitutes. I have seen in my classes, we have people actually get saved in my class. And it is amazing, not because I'm anything, but because God is in the prison. He is right there with us in our class. One time I said, let's have prayer for a sister that was struggling. And the 25 faces looked at me like, now? And I'm like, now, yes, let's pray. This is serious. And the next week, the sister came back and she gave us a testimony that made everyone in my group believe in God that day. So that's what we need, to go in, and all we have to do is give our personal testimony. I'm not a teacher by nature. I didn't know anything about teaching, and only because God leads me, because I follow him. It's nothing about me, and it'll be nothing about you, but God will lead you to say the right words to the people. Remember, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:3, remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Think what it's like. I think so many times about the women. I visit Marysville. I've been there for a little over 5 years teaching a class now. And when I go in there, I think how many mornings they wake up and think, oh my gosh, is this my life? Think how depressing that is. And no matter what they're in there for, they need us and they need our help. We want to present the gospel of Jesus in a way that the inmates will embrace it and they'll know God in the way that we know him. I've had people that actually have said, we've never even heard of God before. And I think to myself, how can you not hear of God when you're 20 plus years old? But so many people haven't. So what we want to be able to do is to give them acceptance. We want to be able to give them new values, a positive perspective, a new purpose for living, and how to have a really true relationship with God.
Amen. Morning, everybody. The mission of the prison ministry, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. I just want to touch on that for a second. I was just talking with a friend this morning, Scott, and we were talking. I remember how much, I'm a former addict, by the way, and how much that used to grind on me about going to AA, confessing, you know, that I'm an addict, alcoholic, and it ground on me for a reason, because of this statement right here. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So we have that to pass on to the others that are holding on to this. We are a new creation in Christ. And that leads the inmates to experience the life-changing power of a God that will free them from these things, the shame, the negative emotions, the hopelessness, the low self-esteem, low self-worth, depression, oppression, and it's a repeated rejection that they get. And, you know, we've had this... in our lives, all of us, you know, I look out over the crowd, I see people that I used to run the streets with that's been behind these bars. You know, God's sending us out there today, and he's asking you. And the volunteers that we're calling on, is like Fred said, don't take this lightly, pray about it because it's going to cost you. And we want you to pray for these workers that go into the prisons, to mentor the inmates in prison, and in the prison and out of the prison. Write the letters to the inmates, pray for the inmates, minister to the inmates, family members. Prison is where God can do some of his best work. Prison is not the end, it's a new beginning, even for those with a life sentence. Amen. And we have our information here if you want to contact us. And at the very end of this, it says, if not you, then who will reach them? It's all of you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Can we hear it for him? You guys can have a seat out there. Oh, come on. We can do better than that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, we got something to say about this incarceration stuff, don't we? Well, a lot of times we think incarceration is only inside of a jail, but it's inside of a prison. It's inside of a nursing home. It's inside of places that often we overlook. The truth is that God wants to use us, and he wants to use us as a body of Christ to reach those who have been forgotten, for those who nobody seems to care about no more. And I can tell you that all the way through the Word, you heard them sit there and reflect on exactly that. God's given us a mission as a church. When we opened these church doors, we didn't come here to be the normal church, and we're not the normal church, and we're okay with that. Everybody say hallelujah. Now, you might have had some bad church experiences and stuff. I did, you did, we all have. But the truth is that we do not want to be a normal church. We want to reach the least of. We want to reach the breached, the broke, the busted, and disgusted. We want to be able to go places where nobody else goes and be able to tell the truth. Amen. The truth is Jesus Christ died for them also. When we get past that, when we start learning to minister to people, we'll begin to reach people. So today I want you to say this with me, reach. I want to preach just a short message with you because I want to give you all the time to unpack these folks that were sitting up here this morning. But, you know, last week we talked about praise and we talked about worship. We talked about praising God for who he is, amen. But then we talked about worship and what worship is. And worship is just going ahead and begin to thank God whether you get it or not. Whatever you are, God, you are God. When we get to this place, when we begin to reach people, we'll begin to worship God. So whether you're going to the nursing homes, whether you're going to the prisons, or you're going to the jail, let me tell you that everybody that's in the sound of my voice, God has commanded you into those places, amen. He hasn't asked you, hasn't given you an idle request all the way from the beginning to end. Now, here's where it gets kind of uncomfortable. God has commanded you as a church, amen, and you are the church. God has commanded you to the highways and the byways to preach the good news. God didn't call you to sit in a church pew. God didn't call you to sit back. I'm telling you, when our loved ones are incarcerated, if we can't reach out and love people right where they're at, then what kind of God's inside of us? What he said was, I'm going to give you a spirit, and that spirit's part of a triune God, and if that triune God reaches inside of you, it should reach outside of you, amen. And then all of a sudden, we begin to look at the power of the cross, the power. Everybody say, power. There's power in the cross, and we got to quit emptying the cross of his power. We got to understand that God went on that cross, and we are to reach out just like he did for us. He forgave the sinners. He's the one that set us free. He's the one that delivered us so we can go into a lost and bound up world, amen. And today, if you want to know why the Muslims don't like us as Christians, well, let me go ahead and tell you why they said. They said, we don't like you because you put your old folks in a nursing home and you cast them out and you don't care about them. And I don't know how that's got anything to do with Christianity. And I was like, wow, that's pretty profound. And I said, I guess I don't like me either then. And the truth is, when you begin to look at it at times, listen, I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings if you got a loved one in the nursing home. That's not my intentions at all. But I can tell you this. We can put people in nursing homes when we have to, but the truth is, we can't put them in and forget about them. We know that our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors get put inside of the jail system, but we can't allow them to be incarcerated, listen to me, church, without preaching the gospel to them. I was sitting in jail, I was sitting in jail just 2 weeks ago talking to Marquand Burton, and I was in there. I went to see Ryan French, and all of a sudden they said, we got an emergency. Can you please talk to this young man? I said, bring him on in. They brought him in, and all of a sudden, I began to minister to the spirit of that young man. You want to know why Fred Schultz wants to go to the jails? Because he wants to develop a relationship, and he wants to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. He wants to go tell him there's a Savior. There's someone out here that loves you, and I know it looks bleak. I know there seems like there's no hope, but God died for you. And you have all hope, amen. See, all of a sudden, Marquand began to understand, I know God, I got a relationship. I said, look, and at the end of it, I said, son, you don't know him, and you don't have a relationship, but once that you profess him as your Savior, things will begin to change. See, today I want to talk to you about change, amen. I want you to know that we've got to reach those people just like Marquand, but if we didn't go to the prisons, if we didn't go to the jails, if we don't go to the nursing homes, the truth is that we're not reaching like we're supposed to be. We empty the cross of his power. Can you say amen? Now listen, I want to talk to you about reach. Everybody say reach. Some people need to doubt before they believe. Amen? Everybody say, well, I've doubted. See, you want to talk about doubting Thomas, and you want to talk about, you know, the cowards in the Bible, you would be talking about the ones to spread the gospel over the entire United States of America and the world for that matter. Amen? You remember those 12 cowards, one that would deny, one that would betray, and the other 10 cowards that would walk away from Jesus Christ when he needed them their very most. See, the truth is that that's the way we are, is we often abandon what God's called us to do, and we often abandon the opportunity to reach the lost at any cost because all of a sudden it's uncomfortable for us. It'll cost us a little bit of time. It's not what I want to do. I was talking to my sister this week, Kim, Ailes, wherever she's at. Kim, where you at? Right there, and Kim works in a nursing home, and she was sharing with me. She says, "It's just like I can't get enough. I can't get away. I want to help. I want to love. I want to do. I want to want to want to." And I said, "You know what? That's what God has called us to do. God has birthed something inside of you, and you work at a nursing home, and God has given you a ministry inside of there, and he's growing it, and he's fueling it." See, all of a sudden, Fred goes to the jail, and Sandy could drag him and drop anchor on him if she wanted to, but she doesn't. She could say, why do you got to go to that jail every single day? Why do you got to invest in those people? Well, let me go ahead and explain to you why this happens. Why does Cindy work full-time then go to that prison and preach to those women? Why does my wife go into the prison and teach on Tuesdays? Why do we go in and share with one-on-ones? Why does Juanita at 80-plus years old want to go into the jail and stand in the lobby and begin to tell parents that there's some hope? Why in the world would you want to do that? Let me tell you why you want to do that, because people are lied to, people are betrayed, people are denied the access to Christ today, amen. All of a sudden, people think that he's not nothing, he is everything. He is the beginning, the end, the first, the end, the alpha, the omega, he is everything. And when we get that, we'll have a guy standing up here named Michael, and Michael will be at this altar right there, and all of a sudden he'll begin to repent about a month ago now. He'll begin to repent. He said, I can't take the heroin addiction no more. I'm fighting these demons, and we raise his hands up, and we lead him to Christ over and over again. We keep telling him to come back to the foot of the cross, only to go out of here and to die of a heroin overdose. I tell you, I will not sit back, and I will not take that as a church. I will not sit back and do nothing, amen. The question was and was posed to you about reaching is this: if not you, then who? Are we going to let our people just continue to be incarcerated and bound up by sin? Are we going to allow our loved ones to sit in a nursing home with no hope at all? Are we going to just sit back and do nothing, or are we going to step up and do something? Amen? If you think I'm kind of adamant about this, I am. I'm very passionate that we need to do something. Some people need to doubt before they ever even begin to believe. Let your doubt begin to deepen your faith. Let your doubt begin to deepen your faith. In John chapter 20 and verse 27, I want to share one scripture with you. And listen to me here. As we begin to look at this scripture, and we begin to talk about old Doubting Thomas. Everybody knows old Doubting Thomas, right? But in Doubting Thomas, listen to me now. I'm going to read to you out of the New King James for the wording of it. But listen. And here's what, let me share this with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach. Are you doubting today? Then begin to reach. Are you wondering, why me? Then begin to reach. If you're wondering, why not you? Then begin to reach. Begin to reach to those that's there in front of you that God has placed in your crosshairs of life. God did not put you where you had. God has not taken you through the trials that you've been through for no reason. God says in his word that this, listen, you have overcome only because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Hallelujah and praise to the Lamb of God. It says, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And again, reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. See, sometimes you got to come to the place where you doubt if you want your faith to be deepened, amen. And all of a sudden, can you imagine when Doubting Thomas stuck his fingers in there and they went through and he's probably thinking, oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. All of a sudden, Jesus got so much grace, didn't he? All of a sudden, I'd be saying, get out away from me. What's wrong with you? I got these nail-pierced hands, did this for you, and you don't even care. But that's not how God works, is it? He's a God of love. Everybody say love. As I begin to share with reach, I want to share what reach is. Reach is to extend, to stretch, to influence, and to touch. Listen to this. I want to talk to you today about reach. Each and every one of you think that you have nothing. Listen, you have everything, amen. God has positioned you right where you're at. And when I begin to look at what God's done with your lives as your pastors, I begin to look at how you can effectively reach to the lost and the hurted and the hurting people and nobody else can touch, but you can. All of a sudden, I begin to look at some of the people. And we had a guy that was in our service last Wednesday, and I remember when he told me he was a Satanist, and I remember all the stuff he had, but he walks into service, amen, and he begins to tell me, I have a question. And he asked a question, and you could hear all the air leave the lungs of everybody in that Bible study. Going, huh? I was like, whew, thank you, Lord. I can answer this one. I can answer it because I studied to find myself approved, and I was ready to tell him, I understand that you don't think God's sovereign and God can do what he says he does. I know you've been beat down and beat up and kicked out. I know that nobody's ever reached out to you. I know what it's like to come from a fatherless home. I know what it's like to have lack. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be beat down and beaten unrecognizable. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be shipwrecked and hijacked. I know what it's like. But I begin to tell him with scripture, but God's word says, Amen. And all of a sudden, you can see him begin to lighten up. And all of a sudden, everybody else says, oh, he's so tatted up, you can't even hardly see his eyes. He's got so many piercings that whatever, I don't understand all of it. He don't dress like right, look right, smell right. Let me tell you something, what my cross says, that Jesus Christ went to that cross for every human being, amen. And when we can get past all of that, when we can get to the place where we allow God, he wrench us, and we got to reach those who don't know Christ. And when we begin to understand that God made no mistakes and made no junk, watch out, God's about to use you. But reach, to extend, to stretch, to influence, and to touch. You can do one of those four easily, amen? You begin to think, there ain't nobody watching me, nobody wants me, nobody needs me. Let me tell you, I've taken some men inside of the jail. Where's Lorenzo at? You in there? Right there, Lorenzo, you're still supposed to be incarcerated. You got another year on books. Man, you should have been in prison to 2017, right? 215. Well, you should still be in prison no matter what. But let me tell you, when you get in there and you begin to introduce people to Christ, when you allow people to develop a personal relationship, when you allow God to be God and Lord of your life, when all of a sudden you see God begin to move, God will do things that you know can't happen, and it'll amaze the people that's around you, and you just keep saying, glory to God. Glory to God, because it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with him. Can you shout amen? Amen. In each of our individual lives, I believe that there is always something outside of ourselves that God would have us to attain. Listen, some of the most powerful people is the ones that think they have absolutely nothing to offer. Let me tell you, you got something to offer. There is a stretching that God requires of us, and when God requires us to be stretched, things begin to happen. And you heard Cindy say it here just a minute ago, you find out it's not about you at all. You find out it's all about him, and people will say, man, that was amazing what you preached, what you sung, what you did. And you'll say, well, really? Really? I'm amazed every week that God would use a sinner like me, only forgiven by grace, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if I wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. We've got to come to the place where we begin to understand who he is and the power that he's given you. There would be no need of faith if we truly had everything that we needed and wanted, and it was just right at our disposal. God, I don't need you. That's what would happen. But listen, God makes you be stretched, makes you work, makes you go to those prisons, makes you go to those jails and them nursing homes, and when you don't want to and you go anyway, let me go ahead and warn you. When you get ready to start this, you ain't going to want to go. What will happen? You've heard it, right? The flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak. You'll say, oh, I feel sick all of a sudden. And then you call whoever's in charge and you don't show up, and then all of a sudden you feel better. Amen? God requires a reaching of us in our lives, reaching out to him, reaching out to others, receive the blessings, reaching out and doing his work, and allow God to be Lord of your life. All of us here have a different reach. All our arms can really, look, everybody's going to stick your arms all the way out. Just stick them straight out, backs up against the chair. Everybody, all the way out, and I look down your aisle both ways. Everybody's reach is different, aren't they? Each reach is different, but every one of you have a reach. That's what's important. When you begin to understand that we are each, I mean, nonetheless, we all have a reach. So nonetheless, what we've got to understand, if you can't do Doors of Hope or Adopt the Block or the Harvest Mills, or, man, I could go on, the 30-some or 20-some ministries we have here. God is creating a ministry for you, amen? God has created a ministry for you. You begin to look at what God wants to do. If we never stretch ourselves, we'll never reach what God is asking us to reach out for. My arms were designed to extend, and so are yours. They were created to reach. My feet were designed to reach out for the next step. My lungs were designed to reach out for the next breath. My eyes were created to help me reach out to the things both near and far. My ears, listen, now my ears reach out, not only for the small, whispering, close voice of Christ when I begin to hear him, but also the sounds of things in the distance. And I shared it last week that things is not as though they are, amen. I'm telling you that we have designed to reach, and all of a sudden we begin to look at what God wants to do with you. All of a sudden, you begin to understand that it doesn't matter what things look like. Listen, when you take this message to the prisons and to the jails and to the nursing homes, I know it looks bleak, but let me tell you, something's about to happen. God is about to enlighten you. God is about to do something with you. All the way through, all you got to do is begin to share the Word of God. We were created to reach. We were designed to extend ourselves outward and upward for the Lord. Remember, when we began to talk about this last week, we talked about this, is that we are are to extend a yacht of praise. We are to begin to get to a place where we're extended and we begin to say, God, whatever you want. Today, when you begin to look at this ministry, God wants your hands extended. God wants you to say, here am I. I'm a willing vessel. All we got to do is begin to go ahead just like Kim and go ahead and take the job and go ahead and walk in the door. And all of a sudden, you'll see what God can do. And he begins to get you out of the way. God wants to use you to advance the kingdom of God. God wants to use you to the fullest of your ability, amen. In order for him to increase, you got to decrease, amen. Now, everybody getting excited about it now, aren't we? We were created to reach. We were designed to extend. You see, if you and I never, ever do step aside from our own conditions once in a while to reach into someone else's life, we never will fulfill the will of God in our lives. What in the world does that mean? Get out of the way. Let God use you. God ordained you. God brought you from it. And God wants to use you just like you are. Amen? We were not created to reach inward. This is going to be kind of controversial for a couple of us. We were not created to reach inward. We were created to reach outward. Listen, that's the problem with the church today is we're so stinking inward. We think it's all about us. It's all about nickels and noses. It's not about this building. It's about a living God, amen. I'm telling you, until we get out in these streets, till we get out in these jails and prisons and nursing homes, till we start taking the message outside of here, we'll never have growth. We'll never do anything, and we won't even have the presence of a living God. We won't have it because his word is the living word, and we got to take the living word to a living world, amen. We know the controversies out there, but if we can just take the word and go to these places, you can see what God can do. How many of you have found it easier at times to help other people than to help yourself? Anybody? Just me. Yeah. It's easier to help others than to help ourselves. This takes me into the next scripture. Listen, I'm almost done already. Man, that's crazy being done this early in it. Phew. Okay, Lord, you go ahead and preach in. He got something for us. When we help others, we minister to Jesus Christ. When we help others, we minister to Jesus Christ. When we help others, listen, those others is God's creation. We got something we talk about every time we go to the streets of Springfield. We don't talk about the crack addicted, the heroin addicted, the pot smoking, the prostitutes. We don't talk about them like they're some piece of trash. We don't talk to them like they'd have nothing, like they're nothing. They're somebody, amen. That's somebody's brother, somebody's mother, somebody's sister, somebody's cousin. Listen, that is somebody that God created in his image. And when we go, we're supposed to go with the word of God, and we begin to assign value. Everybody say value. Don't you know God created everybody with great value, amen? And when we begin to assign value back to a human being, it's incredible to see what God will do because they're made in the express image of Jesus Christ. And when you begin to tell them that God created them, God made them, God died for them, God says at the right hand of the Father interceding for them, when you begin to assign value back to a human being who has been beat down by this old ugly world, all of a sudden what you'll see is you'll see somebody come up with a backbone, you'll see somebody come out of deliverance. You'll see somebody that'll stand up and be the best thing that God created them to be. Can you give God some praise? That's because we got something to praise about, because who's been given much, much is expected. And I'm telling you, I can shout and jump and run and scream for God, because I'm telling you right now, he done something for me, amen. I'm not the same old no good for nothing I was 15 years ago or 20 years ago. I'm not the same old no good for nothing I was a year ago. Every day God extends grace to me. Every day God gives me a fresh start. Every day God gives me undeserved grace and mercy that I don't deserve. And I have something to say about that. God, I begin to worship you. I begin to honor you, Father. I begin to praise your holy name because I am unworthy. Hallelujah. But in Matthew said this. Listen, this is the Lord talking to us in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to be in verses 34 through 40. Familiar scripture, right? Right? Well, maybe not. Okay. All right, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, it says, let me just read it to you. It says, the king will say to those on his right, my father has blessed you. Now, I'm reading out the contemporary English version. Again, it's got an easier read. All right, so I want to read this to you. Then the king will say to those on his right, my father has blessed you. And then it says, come. Come and receive. See, the problem today is stay outside because you don't look right, smell right, taste right. Look, we can't treat human beings like that no more. Look, I've done nursing home ministry for a year. It's a hard ministry. I've done prison ministry for a couple years. I've done jail, still do jail ministry. But all of a sudden, I said, God, I need to get more involved in the prisons. God, I need to get more involved in the nursing home. God, I got to get busier in the jail. I got to tell people, come and receive. Come and receive. That's all we have to do, church. This is the whole thing about reaching. If we'll just begin to tell people, come and receive the free gift of salvation. Come and receive the love that Christ has for you. Listen, come and let me finish the scripture. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. In verse 35, it says, when I was hungry, you. Everybody got that? Everybody point to yourself. Hey, that's me. When you work at the harvest mills around here, that's you. I was hungry. I was hungry, and you gave me. Listen, it says that you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink when I was a stranger. Wow. Now, look, we can take every. Hey, man, can I get 25 cents? Hey, man, I'm hungry. Can you feed me? You heard all of it, right? Oh, the Lord says that you entertain angels. When all of a sudden you begin to say, oh, well, I could do more than give you a quarter, man. Come on, I feed you, amen. And now I'm going to give you some substance. I'm going to give you the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times they say, tell you, I'm getting away from that guy, amen. But that's all right, because here's what it comes back to. When you begin to assign the value to them, when you begin to talk about how good they are and how good God is, when you begin to connect with them and you begin to talk to them about a living Savior, all of a sudden God begins to work. Say, God works. In all things, God works. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was in, okay, everybody get your pen out and cross that one out. We got jail minister. I don't have my pen. It says you can come and visit me if you want to. It says I was incarcerated. I was in jail. I was locked up. I had no hope. It says you came and visited me. It's what it says. Let me keep going here. It says then, verse 37, then the ones who please the Lord. Let me ask you this question off of this. Does anybody here want to please the Lord? Is there anybody in the house of God that wants to please the Lord? See, we got to begin to beat that old ugly self up. That self wants to dominate us. Self wants us to watch TV. Self wants us to go out to eat. Self wants to do what I want, when I want, how I want. We're self-centered, self-seeking, self-righteous, self-indulgent by nature. And what we got to do is get rid of self. That's good preaching, but it ain't popular preaching, amen? Then the ones who please the Lord will ask, when did we give you something to eat or drink? Well, only when you come to church and begged for it. Is that what it says? Oh, it says, when did we welcome you as a stranger or give you clothes to wear? When you come to the pantry and begged for it. Or visit you while you were sick or in jail? And then the king will answer, Lord, have mercy on us. Church, if we can't visit the people that's down and out, if we can't clothe them, if we can't feed them, if we can't give them drink, if we can't point them to the cross, we've emptied the church of his power. We've emptied God of his power. We've dumbed him down when the world's dumbed him down, but God's word is powerful. It says it's powerful to pulling down the strongholds. God wants us to power up, not power down. The king will answer, whenever you did it for any of my people. No, this is why I got the CEV. Read it for yourself. Same language. Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant, is it on the board? How unimportant. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know what it's like to feel unimportant. I know exactly what it's like to feel like that you're the scum on somebody's shoe. I know exactly what it's like when the whole world's quit on you and discounted you and just told you to go ahead and go to hell. I know what it's like. And I ask God every day, never, ever let me forget how that feels. And all of a sudden, you can walk up to someone who is in that position, and you can hug them, and you can love them with the love of God that's inside of you. You begin to embrace them, and all of a sudden, they know there's something different about you than the rest of the world. You're loving them, and you're embracing them with a value that's nothing that they can understand or describe. It's a value that only comes from Christ. It's a value that he assigned on the cross when he crawled up on the cross, when he crawled down off the cross, and when he ascended into the right hand of the Father today interceding for us. It's a value that God wants you to have. You are valuable in his life, in his eyes, in his life. You are valuable. It says this. Let me read it again. It finishes, you did it for me. The king will answer, whenever you did it for any of my people. Who in the world is my people? You are. The people that's sinners, the people that's lost are still his people. The people that's hurting, battling with oppression, depression, addiction, whatever it is, they're his people. When we begin to look at those who are incarcerated, the jails and the prisons, and the ones that's inside the nursing home, you know, the truth is they have great value, but they feel like they have no value. When we begin to get to the place, whenever you did it for my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. He's warning us here, and he's telling us there's something you're supposed to be doing. There's something you're supposed to be doing while you're waiting on my soon return. You're to go and assign value to people who feel like they have no value. This parable describes acts of mercy that we all can do. Listen, everybody say, I can do it. We can all do it every day. These acts do not depend on wealth, ability, or intelligence. They are simple acts freely given and freely received. We have no excuses to neglect those who have deep needs. I'm going to repeat it for you again. We have no excuses. Everybody say no. To neglect those who have deep needs. Jesus demands our personal involvement in caring for others' needs. You see, we need to be careful whom we don't reach out to. That's what we got to be cautious of. It may just be Jesus who needs your help. It may just be Jesus who's sending you to the jail, to the prison, to the nursing home. It just may be Jesus waiting on you to reassign value to someone who feels they have no value. If I did not go to the jail or the prison or the nursing homes personally, if I did not reach out to those people, no one would ever say Pastor Sim never has came. They never knew me until I went there. I was never invited by them. I just went because I felt an inkling from the Lord. I felt a nudge, and I said, I can do it. If I can't do nothing else, I can sit down, and I can let someone talk to me. And all of a sudden, that living word that's inside of you, that living spirit that dwells inside of you, when you sit and you begin to assign value back to a human being, when you know that they've been hurt and broken and tore down, when you know they've been kicked all the time while they're down, when they've been beaten like an animal, when they've all of a sudden don't have nothing else, and you walk in there and you begin to just simply listen, all of a sudden God will rise up inside of you. God will begin to allow you to lead them to a loving relationship with him. All of a sudden they'll come to an altar of repentance, and all God wants you to do is go before them, because if he's before you, then who in this world can be against you? If you'll just go and reach a lost and dying world, God will do all the work. Give me some praise in the house today. They wouldn't even known my name. They wouldn't even know I existed if I didn't just show up. Showing up is the most important part of life. Showing up is why you get there and allow God to do all the work. But I wouldn't know if I didn't go. I wouldn't know if I didn't show. I wouldn't know what was in my reach if I did not reach out and decrease so he could increase inside of me. For the rest of my life, I would have to deal with this regret that I had never even tried. That God birthed something inside of me, and I chose to ignore it for the rest of my life. And God would know that I did not reach who he called me to reach, what he put into my heart to reach out to, that I'd be able to reach to those who has been exactly where I've been at. The ones who's got mental illness, the ones who's got oppression, depression, recession, the ones who feels like they don't have anything to offer, the ones that's bound up by Satan, and the church will just sit back and let the devil have them. Let me tell you, I speak to that darkness today in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak today, even in the sound of my voice today, there's people that need salvation more than you need your next breath. Let me tell you, it's unpopular to stand up here and tell you relationship is not where it needs to be at. God wants a more committed, a deeper relationship, and that's exactly what the jails and the prisons and the nursing home ministry is. It's not a comfortable ministry. It's not a look at me ministry. All of a sudden, when you go in there, if God's not before you, you could never do it. It would leave you stripped naked and beaten before the enemy. But when you go in there and you begin to go in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, all of a sudden God will show up and show out, and people will get saved and set free and delivered, and all of a sudden you'll be just like them, and you'll step back and you'll extend them yada hands, amen, and you'll begin to praise the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. And all of a sudden it says today is the day of salvation, amen. And the only way the salvation is going to get there is if we, the people, will reach out and tell people the truth that Jesus Christ loves them and he died for them, including incarcerated, including those in the nursing home, including those who's been beat down and distressed their whole life, the ones that's been lost in it for 40 and 50 and 60 years, crossing the generational curses out, and be begin to step forward and begin to go. We've got to remember that the veil was ripped, amen. And all of a sudden, we begin to tell them about the salvation. We begin to tell them about a brand new Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't die 2,000 years ago. He still lives today, amen. And we begin to tell them that there's hope in Him. All of a sudden, we ain't got to worry about what everybody else says. We begin to walk in it, amen. We step through the veil. We're inside the inner court. And we begin to tell them that we know, no matter what the court system says, no matter what the nursing home says, we know that somebody's inside of them that's stronger than the rest of this world. And all of a sudden, the value comes back. And it doesn't matter if they die tomorrow. They'll stand up with pride. And when they leave this world, they'll know that they win the battle because the last enemy to be defeated is death. All of a sudden, they meet the Savior, and they meet Him face to face. Hallelujah. Your greatest reach is not when someone like me encourages you to reach. That is not your greatest reach. But your greatest reach happens when you stretch yourself out to attain something that is just beyond where you are. I share, somebody said to me this morning, man, you always busy. I said, oh, I love it. I love it. I said, I drive away, and I'm so tired, I want to go home. And I said, it's been 17-hour day. And all of a sudden, I said, okay, God, what you telling me? He said, get your eyes open. Look at that guy over here. He needs a hug. Pull over and hug him. That guy over is hungry. Man, go buy him a sandwich. See, if we walk in defeat, if we walk in tiredness, we walk in that junk that the world has to offer, listen, you'll never do nothing for anybody, and the vision that God's placed inside of you personally will die. But when you walk into the jail and you sit in front of a man or woman, and you begin to tell them, I know you're hurting, and I really feel your groans and I feel your pain, and you begin to tell them, I'm telling you, God loves you and He died for you. All of a sudden, those gangbangers and the released of and the hard-hearted, they begin to weep and they begin to cry because they're experiencing something that's beyond you and them. You reach beyond you, and you reach out and say, I got a hand for Christ. I got a heart for God, and I got a boot that's for the devil. And all of a sudden, you begin to tell them they can walk in that newness. Your greatest reach happens when you reach beyond you. As the praise and worship team makes their way back up, I want to close with this. Don't be distracted. Listen. Others will say, everybody say, oh, no. I knew you was going to touch on this part. Your spouse is going to tell you. Your boyfriend, girlfriend is going to tell you. Your neighbor is going to tell you. Your boss is going to tell you. Everybody's going to tell you, well, he ain't talking to you. You already do enough. You say, look at God. I can see you already do enough, Luke. You too, Lukeette. That means lukewarm. We talked about that last week. God doesn't desire for us to be Luke. Listen, when I die, I want someone to say, that dude, man, give it all. That dude was in the jails, the prisons, the nursing home, the streets. That guy went where nobody else would go. That guy would tell you the truth when nobody else wanted to tell you the truth. That guy would love me and preach to me, and that guy died for me, would die for me. And today, as he's in that casket, man, he's rejoicing with the Lord. That's where we have to come to. We have to come to a place where we're completely, totally, 100% sold out, and no matter what happens, we win, amen. As we stand over the house, listen, I want to share this with you. Others will say, you will never attain it. You will never attain it. People will be your naysayers, your discouragers. They'll lie to you. They'll do everything they can to drop anchor on you. And today, when you begin to walk over next door and you have one of those little walking tacos and you begin to sign up, and everybody say, now look, and you ain't got time for the jail. You ain't got time. You ain't got an hour every week to go down there and talk to somebody. You cannot walk in that jail lobby ministry every other week and spend an hour comforting hurting parents and grandparents and spouses and kids. You can't do that. They deserve to be in that jail and just let them stay there and rot till hell comes back. That's what people tell you. Well, you can say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Because stronger is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Listen, I can go on and on and tell you. Man, I take, everybody knows Trey. Trey's our little church baby, 22 months old. He walks the streets with me, amen. We begin to tell people. Another night, this guy said, man, I got out of prison. He started telling me how great I was. I said, you tell me how worthless I was before you went to prison. All right, but listen, all of a sudden, Trey looked at him and said, praise Jesus. And all of a sudden, that old hard heart went, what? All of a sudden, he looked at a 22-month-old, and he said, man, you even teaching him? I'm telling him they ain't nothing but the Lord, amen. I'm telling you that I don't care that he's from a fatherless home. I don't care what drug addiction said to his family. I do not care what everything and everybody else has said about him, but I'm telling that little 22-month-old, stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You got a bright future. I don't care what the statistics say. I bind statistics in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that when you come up, you're going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the highways and to the byways, and I begin to speak it as though it is. See, all of a sudden, if you begin to speak to that darkness and your naysayers, they will go away. Everybody said they're going away today. They're going away today because I'm telling you, whoever's dropping anchor on you today, cut the anchor off, amen. You got this all. You got the knife. Cut it off. Your doubt will say, and I won't bring it back to personal. Your doubt will say it's just beyond our reach. But you know in your heart that if you would just stretch yourself beyond where you are right now, you'll be able to reach one soul for Christ. Today, I'm challenging you to reach one soul. If you haven't led anybody to the Lord in a lasting relationship in the last week, the last month, the last year, you need to get busy. You need to get busy. Listen, every time I go to jail, people want to get saved. Every time that you go to prison, people want to get saved, don't they? Every time you go to the nursing home, they want salvation. Every time that you just go in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, people want what they was created for. They wasn't created for havoc and hell and everything this world has to offer, and neither was you. God has brought many of us, truthfully and frankly, right from the pit of hell, including me. And we have something to say about it. As we begin to praise the Lord, this altar is open. It's open right now. Don't wait on me. But if you need salvation today, run to the altar as fast as you can get there. If you need healed today, he's still a healer, amen. His son bore 39 stripes for your healing. If you have someone that's incarcerated in the prison or the jails, and you're lonely and you're hurt, you're depressed, oppressed, the enemy's on your back and you don't know how to get past it, get on up here. See, if you have someone that's in a nursing home and they can't take it no more and they feel lonely, they feel like they have nothing to offer anymore, and you know what it's like, if you've lost them loved ones, come on up here and let's pray. Let's reach people. As we begin to praise God, this altar's open, and don't let nothing hold you back. Don't let nothing hold you back. This is real reality up here. This altar is a place of repentance. This is a place of renewal. It's a place to turn it around. This is a place where God will meet you. And every week, people's tears and the snot flows over this altar. I'm telling you, the truth is that when God moves in, all of a sudden, things begin to change. When you step out in faith and you reach beyond you and you begin to reach in the prison, the jails, and the nursing homes, it's beyond you. But all of a sudden, God will show up and show out in your darkest hour. Amen. As they begin to play the music right now, let's begin to praise his holy name. Remember, worship is an extension. Begin to praise him and to worship him. If you need to come to the altar, come running fast as you can. There's people up here that needs to meet him face to face today, amen. Come as you see fit.